Now let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 2 through 17. And I want to read just a little bit of scripture today. Matthew chapter 3, verses 2 through 17. Let's see what this says. And Jesus is telling us these things. These are things we need to do. And those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now then, I'm kind of like a John the Baptist. But every one of us should be kind of like a John the Baptist, shouldn't we? If you're a child of God, shouldn't you be like a John the Baptist, telling everybody you meet, repent. Jesus loves you. Is that right?
That's right.
That's what we should be doing. And so he says, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is so close to being, on this earth beyond anything we've ever dreamed. Everything we've ever dreamed of is going to change in the next few years. I mean, this whole world that you see and know is going to be totally, completely changed. I believe within 7 to 8 or 9 years total that the Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, will literally be reigning and ruling from Jerusalem. Now, some of you believe Jesus is that close too, don't you? I believe his coming is so near because we've never seen everything set up like it is. So I'm grateful. I'm just hysterically happy that it's just a matter of a few short years till Jesus, my Lord and my God, you know, that's done all these healings and all these miracles for all these people, including the one that saved my soul. I'm going to be able to look him right in the eye and see him. Isn't that going to be awesome? If you can stand there. I don't know whether you can stand it or not. You know, it may take a while to get used to the brilliance, the brightness. You know, I don't know, but it's going to be awesome. We'd be like John. I guess when we see him, we'll just fall on our face. That's probably all we can do. And then verse 3 and 4. Let's go on to 3 and 4. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Oh, we're in that same kind of a scenario today. We need to be calling people into the kingdom of God and telling them to straighten up and to walk holy before God. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, I don't have a problem with eating that wild honey. But them locusts or them grasshoppers, I'm not too sure. Has anybody ever been to Thailand? Anybody in here ever been to Thailand? Did you ever see them eating those big bugs over there? I mean, it's awful to see this great big giant like a beetle bug. They're this big, look like a great big giant cockroach. Yeah. Monstrous thing. And they catch those things, and it's a delicacy to them. That thing, they catch it, and all them legs, all of them just going like this, and they just stick him in there and eat him. The legs are just working a lot. That looks so lovingly scrumptious to me. I believe I'll go have something else.
They hurt when they hit you on a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's right. They're big, aren't they, Joseph? They're big. They're great big giant bugs, and they eat them things alive. You know, but John, he ate these big locusts too. That was his food out there in the wilderness. He ate grasshoppers or locusts. And wild honey, like I say, the wild honey, I don't have a problem with. I can eat wild honey, but I don't know. Maybe if I dipped one of the big old grasshoppers in enough honey, and if I was hungry enough, maybe I could eat anything if I was hungry enough. But thank you, Lord, that so far I've never been that hungry. You've done a good job of blessing me with food. And Lord, when I read something like this and think about the position that John had and what he came to do, and I have never had to eat locusts. You know, I've never ate, but he did. And so, Lord, I am so grateful. So we ought to not have a problem at all praising God for what he sets in front of us, right? I mean, now verse 5 and 6. Then went out to him all of Jerusalem and Judea and all the regions around about Jordan. Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all of Judea. So how many of the people went out? All the people went out. They're looking for this guy to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Do you think that's the same thing God's calling the church to do today?
Yes.
Absolutely right. He wants us to repent of our sins and walk holy in cleansing power so he can use us in these last days. And that's what he was doing back here 2,000 years ago. The same thing. Verse 7 and 8. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, He said to them, O you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Man, he's not just a little quiet, gentle preacher, is he? I mean, he's out there screaming, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Hey, if there was going to be a wrath coming, is it coming still?
Yes.
Yes. It's coming. And that's why I say that in this time we're in, prepare yourself for the wrath. How would you like to have been down there in Haiti and been a Christian? I mean, I watched a pastor, man of God, no two ways about it, a great man of God. He was doing a great work in a church down there. He was really preaching the gospel. And one, his little son, which was about this big, he has some pictures of him. He was in school the day the earthquake came. And 3 weeks later, as they're uncovering material, they uncovered his little body in that school. They called him. He went over there, and there it was, and it was his son. It was crushed under the concrete. So at least they showed pictures of him, of the people taking him out, and at least the pastor had a little service with a little casket, and he buried his son. Now, a lot of people didn't have that privilege, did they? I saw pictures down at Haiti where they were picking him up in a front-end loader, putting him in a big dump truck and backing the dump truck up to a 10 or 15 foot hole and dumping bodies in there to cover them up with dirt because the stink was getting so bad all over the place. Would you like to live someplace like that? No. You know, us right here in America, most of us have never experienced that kind of devastation. Now, some of the people that was in Katrina got a little taste of it, didn't they? But said, God just given us a little taste to let us know, you boys need to straighten up. I'm in control. I am God. And I'm going to send my wrath upon this country again. He's doing it all over the place. And I will have to say, for Haiti, a place that would not allow Jesus Christ to be spoken of, the president would not allow him. I mean, when they said a year before, A team of Christians went down to Haiti and said, we'd like to have a meeting on the Capitol grounds down here and have a prayer meeting, one day prayer meeting in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the president said, no way, never happened in my country. A year later, he demanded that that group of people come back and they not have a prayer meeting for a day, but for 3 to 5 days. And I saw the video of where those people came and they would meet at 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening. And all they did from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening is fast and pray and worship God. And there was at least 1 million people at every service. Did God get your attention? I think he did. I think he's trying to say, folks, I happen to be God. And I commanded you all to love me and worship me. Now, if you don't do it, I know how to get your attention. Yeah, but many people today would say, you know, God would never do that. Well, who do you think's running the world? God is shaking this place. You know, it sure ain't the devil. He don't have that kind of power. But God can shake the place in the earth. And he says, I'll shake it again. Didn't he, Joseph? I've shaken it before and I'm going to shake it again. And so, wow. I saw a YouTube video the other night of a presentation of what somebody thought. When Revelation says, John said, and I saw a mountain on fire fall out of heaven into the ocean. A mountain on fire fall from heaven onto the earth. I saw a YouTube video. I don't know how they do this, but somebody made it. And here's this great big beautiful blue earth out here. And here's a great big chunk coming through the heavens. And it's got cracks in it like it's a volcano or whatever, but it's a big round mass of rock and molten lava and everything else. And this thing is coming, and it comes and hits right in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And when it did, I mean, the way they did that, you ain't never seen a nuclear blast like the equivalent of what that was. That thing was probably 1/20th or maybe 1/50th the size of the earth, but it was a big chunk of rock. A big chunk of rock. You know, in fact, you go out there to the swimming pools, that's 20 foot by 20 foot, and you take a little rock this big around and throw it up in the air, and it hits right in the middle of the pool, the waves go plumb to the edge, you know that? On a 20 foot pool. Well, that when that big old thing came through the heavens and it hit, when it hit that hot heat with that cold water, it started erupting and it went up like a nuclear blast, and there was a blast going across the earth. And I was thinking, as it was coming up to a group of islands, like, I don't know what islands they were. The only islands that come to my mind, if they're not in the Atlantic, they're in the Pacific, it's like Hawaii. Here's all these mountains and everything, these little islands, and all of a sudden these waves are so gigantic from this thing, they come with such force, and as they go by, the mountains, the islands just disappear. They're gone, it's ripped out. And did he say, I will level every island, and I will make every hill flat? Did he say that? What kind of a devastation is it going to take for that to happen? Would it be a good time to know Jesus when all this is happening? I think it would. Yeah, I don't think it's too long off. So what do we need to do between now and the time this happens? Be praying for our protection, right? Walking holy in obedience to the word. And get on his doorstep every day and say, Lord, this is Thurman down here, and I still love you, Lord. I want you to know I love you, Lord. You think that might be a good thing to do? Yeah. Don't be out there sinning, doing everything you can, trying to think, well, I'll get by with this. No, you ain't going to get by with this. When this comes, and the Bible says it's coming. Now, I don't know when it's coming, but if the Bible says it's coming, it's going to come. And everything we've worked for, everything we've fought and squabbled for, you know, I mean, families get into unforgiveness over some kind of estate deal when mama dies, you know, or daddy dies or something like this, or brother and sister have a knockdown drag out over a stupid few dollars over whatever, an estate settlement or something. And when this happens, it ain't going to amount to nothing, is it? Because everything's going to be gone. Everything. Nothing on this earth. That's why he says, don't build your treasures on earth. Walk holy and obedient to my word.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Pray for Protection for You, Your Family, and the Church, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.